For this morning's sermon, we focus on the reading from Mark chapter 1, our gospel reading. To begin, I reread verse 11. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What does God want to know? Want us to know about him? And within that question, you could have a number of sub-questions. And we'll think about a couple of those ideas today. One might be like, okay, what does God look like? You can almost think about what I would have asked the children when they were here. What does God look like? Well, in that question, if we approach that question apart from Scripture, then the devil always wants to tempt us, even if we're in the Scriptures. The devil wants to tempt us, the world wants to tempt us to think what God is like by our own thoughts, by our own ideas. And we're tempted to think about God, what I might think God would look like or behave like or seem like, without listening to what he says himself in his word. And this is exactly, we can learn so much from Genesis chapter 3. This is exactly what the devil tempted Eve and Adam to do at that first sin. So jumping into that narrative, I have it written down there, but from that narrative from Genesis 3, the serpent said to the woman said, if you eat of that fruit of the tree, you will die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, if you just stop right there, just think about all the contradictions that the devil is tempting Eve with. God knows better. God is lying to you. God doesn't want you to be like him. Just think about all the possibilities he's tempting her to think. Continuing. So, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, now she's thinking everything. Wow, look at what it looks like. Not what God said about it, but what I think he is. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So the devil tempted her with these thoughts. Don't listen to what God said. No, no, you won't die. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. You'll have maybe power like God. You'll live forever like God. And then she also adds her own thinking, well, yeah, and it looks like it's a beautiful tree, and it looks like it's good to eat. And so she strayed away from what God had said to what the devil was tempting her with in her own thoughts. We think about, what does God look like? Well, the devil and the world, you could probably think of many things yourself, but I have three little thoughts here. frequently, you see God in especially little cartoons representing God. And he's like an old, feeble guy with a white, long beard. And he's there. And you think, boy, that guy doesn't look very impressive, does he? The way God is presented sometimes. Sometimes God is presented, especially in other religions, God is hateful, he's vengeful, which sounds like Satan was almost tempting Eve that way. God doesn't want you to know the truth about that fruit. It's actually very good for you, but he's lying to you. He's saying it's no good for you. I'm telling you it's good for you. He's a bad God. Do you see that? So sometimes God doesn't want us. He's hateful. He's vengeful. Or sometimes, and maybe Christians might be tempted with this thought more often, it seems like God doesn't know what he's doing. And those are ways that we are tempted, or the world presents things. That's what God's like. But when we read this text, there are, even just pulling a few things out of it, what does God want us to know about him from our text, from Mark 1, from these few verses? First of all, it is very clear that God cares for us. Jesus went and took the baptism from John, a baptism for repentance. What did Jesus have to repent of? Nothing. He was holy. He was perfect. But he began his ministry in that what? The sins of the world would be put on him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to carry our sins. And this is the beginning of his public ministry, that he is going to be carrying sins. And he told John in other passages, we must do this, that all righteousness must be fulfilled. John knew Jesus is holy. No, you should baptize me, not you. John said, no. Jesus said, no, all righteousness must be fulfilled. He cares for us. He came to save us. He came to take our sins upon him. And we also see very clearly here that God wants to be with us. Not only does he care for us, but he wants to be close to us. What happens there at the baptism? In this very short explanation and narrative of it, it says the heavens are rent open. He saw the heavens tear open, and the voice comes, the Father's voice, and the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus in the form of a dove. What is that but God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and on earth, God the Son is with people. God did not say, well, now you people have to come up into heaven by me, see if you can build a tower about tall enough. In fact, he was mad when people did that in the Tower of Babel. You think you're gods, you're not gods. But God wants to be with us, and he comes to us. I didn't realize this till I was preparing for the sermon, but this tearing apart heavens and the voice coming, it's the same verb, it's the same vision and verb and description as what happened when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain tore in the temple. What did that mean? The curtain tore from the temple, from the holy of holy place, holy of holies, to the holy place where the priests were. God's holy presence, the division was torn when Christ died, and now God is with his people. When Christ died on the cross. That's exactly what's happening at the baptism. God rends heaven and he speaks and he sends the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are now on earth. The Father's pointing out, his voice is on earth, pointing out the Son, sending the Holy Spirit. The Son is there with the Holy Spirit. God is with his people. That is what God wants us to know about him. He wants to be with us. Which is what? Emmanuel, God with us. And we see also in this very brief description of Jesus being tempted by Satan, Satan cannot stop God's salvation for us. Satan wanted to stop Jesus over and over again through the plans and the jealousies of the chief priests, through the betrayal by Judas, by the demons speaking to Jesus and him casting them out. Many, many ways the devil tried to stop Jesus, and in his temptation too. But no, the devil cannot stop God from saving us. Now this word, or now this question, what does God look like? Now, if we think carefully as Christians and understanding something about the Trinity, we understand that we don't have a picture or a clear photograph or something of the Father. The Son was here. People saw him, talked to him, touched him, and everything. So there is a Son. And the Spirit, we just seen it lights as a dove. So how do we think about God the Father? Well, what did God the Father say at the baptism of Jesus? God the Father said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." If we want to know what God is like, and if we want to know what God looks like, how does he act? Well, who is he well pleased with? Jesus. To know the Father is to know the Son, which Jesus taught many times over. But here specifically, we hear that God the Father is pleased with the Son. Everything the Son is doing and speaking, all his healing, everything he's going to do in his ministry, God the Father is pleased with. And to know God the Father is to look to Jesus and to know what Jesus is all about. And this, things like our Lent services, things like Holy Week, where we concentrate on the suffering and death of Jesus for us to forgive our sins. To know what Jesus has done for us is to know what God the Father is like and how he cares for us. What's written about Jesus is what God wants us to know about him. God the Father wants to know about him. And just a few thoughts on that very brief message of what Jesus began to do. It says in verses 14 and 15, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God." Proclaiming the gospel of God, the Father. Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the Father. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Just a few thoughts. What does God want us to know? What time is it I have there? Well, it's time to listen. Proclaiming the gospel of God, that this is God speaking. When Jesus speaks, that is his Father's will. His Father is pleased with everything as Jesus is doing. And Jesus in many places, for instance, in John, we covered in Bible class this morning. Everything that the Father wants done, the Son does. They work hand in hand. And to hear Jesus' teaching and preaching is what the Father is also saying. This is the gospel of God. The time is fulfilled. Basically, you can say, you don't have to wait any longer. We Christians living about 2,000 years after Jesus, we're waiting for Jesus to return. This is true. But sometimes in our daily lives and actions, we say, well, I wonder what God is going to do. Think about that. No, we Christians know what God has done in Christ. That is what counts. Yes, in our daily life, we're wondering how this might go or how this might go, what decision we have to make. But all that in our daily life depends on what Christ has done for us on the cross and that he's risen from the dead. That's what God has done. And so that reflects, that shines on our daily life. So that, yes, we have to make decisions this way or that way, or we need to say a word or pray about this, but all of that is shined upon and grace, receive grace upon grace because of what God has done for us in Christ. The time is fulfilled. What has God done in Christ? When God says, when then Jesus says, the kingdom, and I have in there the notes of the reign, this is active kingdom. It's not like, and I've mentioned this before, it's not like a kingdom like the borders of the kingdom. It's not like that. It's the reign of God as he's going out. The active reign of God. What is he doing? He is working through Christ. And as we see and hear about Jesus in the Gospels working, that is the reign of God coming out among us. Repent and believe in the gospel. And remember, this is the gospel of the Father, of God. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, again, means, I said it last week, or Ash Wednesday, means turn, turn. So turn from your way of thinking, turn from your sinful human way of thinking, turn away from that, and believe in the gospel. believe in the good news that God is giving. And so Jesus is preaching this to the people who are waiting for God's kingdom to come. But that's us too, isn't it? What do we, Jesus has taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. His kingdom comes through the words and teachings of Jesus Christ. His kingdom has come, is reigning among us. And so we ask for God's deliverance, we ask for God's help through our daily lives, we ask for guidance, but all that is already given us. We're wondering here and there, but God says, look what I've done for you in my Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I am well pleased. This is for you. I'll help you make that decision. I'll give you some guidance. I'll give you protection. Or maybe it's time I'll take you home. Whatever the answer might be, his Son has done all things for us, and his reign is among us. So we listen to the teachings by Jesus, and we trust in them. As Jesus begins his ministry here, he calls attention to the certainty to know what God is about. We don't have to think of some cartoon drawing of God. We don't have to think of a different religion's idea about God. We don't have to come to our own understanding what God must be like. But we look to Christ. That is God for us, sent by his Father, working with the Holy Spirit. That is who God is and what he wants us to know. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son. Help us to listen to his preaching and his words written down for us. Help us to understand his miracles that he did and see that all this is you acting among your people. Give us faith to know that this bright light and good word and actions in it is also for our lives. Give us faith, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.